Hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. This week, we are hearing from my amazing mom, Gloria Copeland, about receiving healing and being made whole. Listen, these broadcasts are timeless, they're powerful, and they are good for everybody. They're good for those believing to receive their healing and for those who want to keep their healing, those who want to stay well, those who want to minister healing. If you're feeling pressure to be overwhelmed, tired, and you want to quit, you know, you need healing. We need to have our mind renewed and refreshed. So I have good news for you today. She's going to talk about that. You can find new strength by spending time with Jesus and His Word. And that daily communion with Him is so important. My mom taught me that. We can be strengthened and revived as we give Him a way to come in and help us with our lives. We're going to find out today how to do that. So get your Bible and follow along as my mom shares how we can be refreshed and gain physical and mental strength to live long and finish strong for the Lord.
Look at Proverbs 16. Look at verse 6. By mercy and love, truth and fidelity to God and man, iniquity is purged out of our heart, and by the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart from evil or avoid evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 20 says, he who deals wisely and heeds God's word and counsel shall find good. And whoever leans on and trusts in and is confident in the Lord, happy, blessed, and fortunate is he. We ought to live this life down here where we're ready to go at any moment. Amen. Walking in love, keeping the Word of God with our body armor on. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Isaiah 40. While we're here, we want to stay strong, stay well. We don't have to get weak, because we can live on the Word of God. Isaiah 40. Well, look at 29. He gives, in the Amplified, it says, he gives power, talking about the Creator of the earth, he gives power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, that would be you and me, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Isn't it great that it's unscriptural for you and me to be tired? We ought not be tired. Don't expect to be tired. You don't have to be tired to die. Just leave. All right, I'm going to read that in the New Living. Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. Why? He's a spirit. What are we? We're spirits. We live in a natural body, but the spirit, the born again part of us that's indwelt by the Holy Ghost, is stronger and more powerful than the body. So our spirit, our born again spirit, can give life to our body. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. I won't ask for a show of hands. But if there's anybody in here who's tired and worn out, there's your scripture. He'll give you power. How does the King James talk about it? He'll quicken your mortal flesh. Glory to God. Quicken your mortal flesh. If your mortal flesh is getting too lazy, too slow, too tired, spend more time in the Word. and let that word of God quicken your mortal flesh. Put the right words in your mouth. Quit saying, I'm so tired, I just don't know what to do. Quit saying, I'm tired. Say, I have the life of God. The life of God is working in me. The Spirit of God is quickening my mortal flesh. I'll live and not die, and I'll live out the full number of my days. Glory to God. Say words from God. They're scriptural, spiritual, out of the Spirit words, and go in our eyes, our ears, get into our heart, come out our mouth, power. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even the young ones, even the youths will become exhausted, and young men will give up. Young men, it's not scriptural for you to give up. But those who wait on the Lord, what's that mean, wait on the Lord? Who pay attention to the Lord, who spend time with the Lord, who spend time in His Word. You go to the Word of God. You spend time in the Word of God. You say, well, I have to go to work every day. Well, most everybody goes to work every day. I mean, what do you do when you have to go to work every day? You get up an hour earlier than you've been getting up, and you spend some time in the Word. And your body will be better off for it. Your spirit will be stronger. Your circumstances will be better. Your finances will increase. Why? Because you spent time with the Word. And you increased, you believe what you read in there. It increased your faith. It influenced your words. Instead of saying, I don't know how we're going to pay these bills, you begin to say, my needs are met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is my Savior, and God meets my needs according to His riches in glory by my Savior, Christ Jesus. You've heard these people all week, Jerry and Jesse, and all of us started out without anything. I mean, I don't know if they had debt. I assume they did, but we started out not just even, but we started out in debt because that's the only thing we knew. We didn't know how to believe God for cash to pay for anything. You know, I was only a child when I married, so it's all Ken's fault. But to tell you the truth, it was his notes that I inherited when I married him. But you know, we found out about the Word. We started, you know our story. I won't tell it again. But it'll work for anybody that'll do it. And we didn't know much. We began to learn about faith when we moved to Tulsa, and then things speeded up. But you're already there, hallelujah. You know about faith. Take the books and the tapes and the, you know, all the people that we have at the Believers Convention that minister to you, they're all faith people. They're all people that have what they have because they have acted and believed the Word of God. And they've been out there successfully acting on the Word, believing God for a long time. All of us, all the speakers in this meeting have been that way because, you know, we started out years and years and years ago. And so we have experience behind us. We're not telling you that something we hope is going to be true. We're telling you something that we have lived 20, 30, 40 years plus. And God has always, always come through. Was it as soon as we wanted? Not always. Not always the next day. Not always as soon as we wanted. But it always was soon enough to get us out of the jam. Hallelujah. And then we learned, of course, as you know our testimony, we learned, and you should learn also, if you don't already know it, how to live without debt. Glory to God. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. If anybody's in that condition, here's your scripture. That's Isaiah 40, 29. Even the youths will become exhausted and the young men will give up. But those who wait or serve or minister to the Lord or receive from Him or spend time with Him, they will find new strength. Thank God there's new strength. Bless the Lord. Now, when you find out how to do that, and then it says, they'll fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. We're running and not growing weary. Hallelujah. They will walk and not faint. How come? Because they've got new strength, spiritual strength, strength that comes from the Word of God. So I want to admonish you as you go home from this meeting, I want to admonish you to stay active in the Word. Don't wait till Sunday when you go to church to get the Word. Get up earlier. Pray. You know, one thing that changed my mind, I've told you about it. I probably told you about it this week, but I'll just say it once again because it was so outlandish at the time. But I was believing for John, my son, to straighten up and fly right. And I didn't know. He really drove me to prayer. He drove me to prayer. I guess I should give him a dinner of appreciation or something because he did stir me up. And I could see he was going the wrong way and he wasn't doing what he knew to do. And I was concerned about him. I was concerned about him. Well, it came into my heart. Pray an hour a day in the Spirit. And I started out because of John praying an hour a day in the Spirit way back there. I don't even remember what year now, but way back there when he was a teenager. And he's played an important part of my spiritual life when you get right down to it. And when a boy's teenager and you he's out, you can't lock him up because then the police would come get you. And so you just have to deal with it. And that's the way the Lord taught me to deal with it. Well, of course, you know John turned out great. He's a strong man of God and God is faithful. But he's where? He is the reason that I started praying in the Spirit an hour every day. And you know it wasn't long till he had a turnaround either. It didn't take very long. I mean, when you pray in the Spirit, you don't know exactly what you're praying. But you know you're praying according to the will of God. But that was the thing that was on my heart when I started doing that. And after, of course, he got straightened out, praying an hour a day was such a habit and had been such a blessing in my life, I didn't think about just saying, okay, John's okay now, I can quit and sleep another hour. No, it had affected me. It had affected my life too many ways to quit. And you get used to it. You know, at first I remember it was wintertime. It was cold. I remember where we were living. I remember where I'd go pray in the mornings and I'd have to get up in the dark and go pray. Man, it was hard. I didn't want to get up. It was cold, wintertime, and I wanted to snuggle up and sleep. But, you know, God dropped that in my heart. And it has been, I think, a major thing in my life because I spent that time in prayer. And of course, we talked about earlier in the week, you spend time in the Word also every day. And do, what if you just pray 15 minutes a day? What if you just do whatever God tells you in your heart to do? Just do that. Give him some time, though, every day to strengthen you. Because it's our contact with him. It's our time with him. It's our giving him a way in that lets him come in and help us in our lives. Amen? And you'll never regret. Any time you set aside to spend in your spiritual life and to spend time with God, it will pay you such great dividends. You will never, ever regret it. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah says he gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even the youths will become exhausted and the young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. In other words, those who wait on the Lord won't give up. They won't quit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They won't become exhausted. Why? Because we are a spirit. God is a spirit. We contact him in our prayer time and in our spirit to spirit. So we get strength from him. And every moment you give to God and to his word, it will pay great dividends. Let me see. I don't think I read this yesterday, but here's the opposite of it. of spending time with God, of living with God, of living like the world lives. I'm telling you, the world's crazy. You ought to be able to figure that out without a whole lot of discernment. They're crazy. You follow them, you'll end up crazy. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to its own end and his own purpose. Even the wicked are fitted for the day of calamity and evil. Everyone proud and arrogant is disgusting, hateful, exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, they will not go unpunished. By mercy and love and truth and fidelity to God and man, iniquity is purged out of the heart. Now, the purer we are in our life, the more we obey God, the more blessing it lets in. God's not going to bless wickedness. He's not going to bless disloyalty. He's not going to bless craziness like the world is. By mercy, love, and truth, the more we yield to mercy and we're merciful, the more we walk in love, the love of God, the more we obey truth and loyalty to God and to man. You have to treat God right and you have to treat man right. It says iniquity is purged out of the heart, and by reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, this is a powerful scripture with a great promise. When a man's ways please the Lord, that would be that you're walking in the light, you're doing what he's telling you to do, you're pleasing him. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Think of that. Even your enemies to be at peace with you. A man's mind plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. So when we spend in contact with the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through talking to God, and listening to what he says, God is able to make our steps sure. He's able to bring the plans that he has, his good plans that he has. I would never have dreamed that this was God's plan for my life when I was growing up. I didn't come from a spiritual family. I mean, my family was not spiritual at all. I think my mother got born again as a child, but she didn't really know anything much about the scripture. And I had no spiritual background. I went to a church that, when I went, that Kenneth says is famous for believing nothing. And I won't tell you what that is, but it's about right. And I just didn't have any spiritual background. I just didn't know. But I tell you, when I began to hear the Word of God and I began to get revelation and understand, even before we met Brother Hagin, we had heard some truth, but not enough to prosper on, if you know what I mean. But we did know some truth. We've been born again and filled with the Spirit. We just didn't have much knowledge of the Word until we sat under Brother Hagin's ministry. But things had improved, and God had improved us a great deal by that time, but not nearly like we wanted, because we didn't know anything. We didn't gain a whole lot of ground until we began to learn about faith. And that's why it's hard for you to come hear us if we don't talk about faith, because that's where the good life really started. Now, the born-again life, that's the good life, but I mean, it's not down here affecting your circumstances and your flesh so much until you yield to what the Word says about circumstances. It's hard to have a good life when you can't pay your bills. You know what I mean? Or when you're hungry. That's not a good life. A good life is where he meets all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Actually, we're not talking about that today, though. We're talking about healing. Healing, healing. Hallelujah. Healing. It is God's will for you to be healed. There's no question about that. Jesus himself bore that sickness and carried your diseases. And by his stripes, you were healed. And so that's the way you receive it at home. That's the way you receive your healing at home. You get a symptom of some sickness and disease. Don't think about the doctor first. Think about Jesus first. Jesus bore this for me. I am the healed. He bore my sin. He bore my sickness. He bore my disease. He is my Savior from sin, Savior from sickness, Savior from disease, Savior from poverty. How can I say all those things? Because all that stuff's in the curse. And Jesus bore the curse for me. You ought to find out what's in that curse. You've been delivered from all that. But I think you could safely say that everything bad is in that curse. After you read it, it says everything, every sickness, even if it's not listed in this curse, the Bible says it is under the curse. So today we're going to just take our liberty and take our freedom from sickness, disease. Glory to God. We are the healed. Say, I am the healed. Satan tries to take my health from me. But he's a defeated foe. Jesus whipped him. He whipped him badly. He's never gotten over it. I'm healed.
God has given us victory in the area of health and healing. He'll keep you safe from virus, infection, discomfort, and disease when you follow the instructions laid out in the Bible on how to get healed and stay that way. For over 50 years, Gloria Copeland has been passionately teaching people how to apply the principles of faith found in God's Word to take their healing. Get on the road to divine health with your healing prescription package. Listen and participate in Healing School with Gloria's 6-message audio series. Use the scriptures as your prescription medicine to stay healed with the RX Healing Brochure and discover the keys to living well and having a full, healthy life with Gloria's mini book, 3 Steps to the Good Life. There is sickness in the world, but as believers, we know that our weapon is not against flesh and blood, and faith for healing will come as you keep filling your heart with the Word of God. Live symptom and fear free, confident in God's power to get healed and stay healed for a long, strong life.
Request your healing prescription package free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries at kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Take God's healing prescription. Let the Word of God and these teaching resources help you receive your healing and stay well. See yourself living healthy and whole. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Wow, Mom, that was a good word. And, you know, so important to other moms and dads to pray for our kids. When my mom shared how the Lord put it on her heart to pray in the Spirit an hour a day for my brother John, he needed it. You know, we all need it. And it worked. God's Word works. Prayer works. And I know there are some of you who are believing God to touch your family, to touch your children, to heal them, to bring them in. I want to pray for you today because there's an anointing and a fire on this right now. So take your children figuratively in your hands. If they're there with you and they're little, put your hands on them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the gift of our children. We thank you, Lord, that you did not give us these children with the intention of them being lost. You said in your word, it is not your will that one of these little ones be lost. And Lord, we put our little ones in your hand. We put our big ones in your hand. We thank you for protecting our children according to Psalm 91. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. Lord, I thank you for all those children and grown people who have gotten away from you. Lord, you know right where they're at. Even though they may think they've gotten away from you, you're right there with them. So I thank you, Lord, for apprehending their heart, for softening their heart. I speak to their souls in the name of Jesus and command you to have a prosperous soul. Command you to have a soft and open heart to the Lord. Lord, I thank you that those that are away from you will be miserable until they come home, but they're protected from evil and harm by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for teaching us moms and dads how to love our kids and not judge, how to be the right voice of love, how to be the right voice of wisdom, how to say the things you want us to say to bring them in close to you. And we thank you that we can rely on you and we can trust you, Lord Jesus, because you came to seek and save that which was lost. And I thank you, Lord, that we will not lose our children, not in any way, but they will serve you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe that? I do. I've watched it happen over and over and over again. The Lord has helped me, protected my children from harm, disease, car accident, and it really didn't matter if I was with them or not. Don't be afraid, Mama. Don't be afraid, Daddy. Jesus has got your kids. Just leave them in His hands, though, okay? Our free offer this week is a perfect complement to the teaching today. It's called Your Healing Prescription Package. We have Healing School, 3 Steps to the Good Life, and a brochure with a list of healing scriptures. When you put the Word of God in your heart, it makes your spirit strong, it makes your soul strong, and it drives out every lie of the enemy. So we want to send you that. Just let us know you want it. This is Kelly reminding you today that God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord over your kids.
Continue to grow in your faith in God. Go to kcm.org to download or request your free copy of today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Believe God to bring new visions, His manifested power, and great change in your life. On a clear night nearly 47 years ago, Kenneth Copeland was flying home from a meeting when he first heard a phrase that would significantly impact both his life and ministry. Coming to you from the revival capital of the world. As these words rang out from his spirit, he thought to himself, there's an entertainment capital in Hollywood and a political capital in Washington, D.C. But where's the revival capital of the world? At that moment, he was left with more questions than answers. Kenneth Copeland Ministries was experiencing tremendous growth. The ministry would move 3 times over the next 3.5 years. In 1973, Brother Copeland heard about a choice piece of property that was up for sale, and he quickly went to investigate. The sprawling land God had directed Brother Copeland to visit was a former military base once known as Eagle Mountain Air Station. Constructed to test gliders during the early part of World War II, the base had become home to over 2,000 pilots and soldiers during the peak of the war years. As Kenneth stepped onto the property, the Spirit of the Lord said, "This is the revival capital of the world, and you are going to build it." After various confirmations from the Lord and miraculous favor with the current owner, the property was purchased and construction began in 1979. What was a training ground for soldiers was now destined to become a place of spiritual training, a new base of operations that would deliver the Word of God. Thank you, partners, for going with us as we share the gospel from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. We're on this journey together to become the revival capital of the world. We will see the vision fulfilled as we continue to be used for the production of God's uncompromising Word in every form that the heart can imagine.